Amazon now has a $60 microwave that connects to Alexa and can order popcorn when you're low. It is one more foray into the Internet of Things, a world in which every object in your home is connected to the Internet from your refrigerator to your ceiling fan. Joining us now is Ben Brock Johnson, who covers tech for Here and Now. Ben, you say this may sound cool and convenient, and we've talked about it before, but there are some big privacy and security risks here.
Absolutely. Anything that you connect to the Internet comes with the potential good and bad the Internet offers. So we've seen hackers get into baby monitors and scream at babies, for instance. You can imagine crazy things like thermostats going off and your pipes freezing while you're on vacation, undetected break-ins because your smart locks have been hacked, people turning off your lights on you. Smart fridges have given away Gmail credentials and payment information in the past. So the more things get connected, the more creative hackers are going to get in breaking into them. And it's not inconceivable that ransomware, for instance, where hackers take over your computer and make you pay up to access it again, could make it into the smart home and could really hold people hostage in their own homes. So this does get kind of scary in this potential future that we're talking about.
So what are these companies doing to help people deal with these issues?
Honestly, not a lot yet. Larger companies have the money to invest in security, but as we saw with 50 million accounts at Facebook being compromised just recently, it's a bit of a crapshoot for consumers, even among big companies, right? There's a cultural thing happening too. Internet-connected tech is trendy, so companies of all sizes are a lot more likely to spend money on connecting something than protecting something once it's connected. Facebook announced this video chatting service Portal, and this is a different issue, saying they weren't going to collect user data. Now the company has flip-flopped, saying that user data will be collected, so potentially hackers could get access to that. And it's important to remember that connecting something on the internet also lets companies move the goalposts after you've purchased the product in a kind of unique way. So companies can change terms of service or user agreements that none of us ever read, and voila, we're in this brave new world.
So, of course, anyone could just disconnect entirely, say, I'm not going to have a smart home, I'm not going to have the Internet of Things in my home.
Yeah, that is true, although it does get tricky because, again, a lot of these companies that are making these products are putting the connectivity into the products without really asking the consumers, right? And slow as they may be, government organizations are catching up to this. Better clarity on national global technology standards would be really helpful when it comes to connected devices. That could come through legislation, which is difficult but seems to last longer. Also, the Federal Trade Commission has made some progress on protecting consumer data and putting the onus on companies rather than consumers to bolster those protections. If the FTC updated the fines for companies, like when companies screw up, that would go a long way too. And then we've also seen the European Union and European regulators be more willing and able to exert regulatory powers over companies when it comes to data. So there's something called the e-privacy regulation that is in motion now and will likely sort of go into effect late this year, early next year. And that's really focused on user privacy when it comes to the Internet of Things. Though companies say it goes too far in regulating the Internet of Things by making the user agree every time a sensor picks up their information, for instance.
So what do you advise people to do if they're listening to this and they're wondering about their own privacy, their own security, but they also want to maybe have some of the conveniences that are offered from the Internet of Things?
Just move to the woods and go off the grid. No, I mean, my rule of thumb is every time you buy something like this, ask yourself if it needs to be connected to the internet. And often the answer is no, right? And, you know, again, each consumer has to decide for themselves where that line is drawn when it comes to whether it's convenient enough to kind of make the argument to take that risk. It may be that the Internet of Things is coming to our home, whether we like it or not, but we can use our power as consumers to hopefully make smart purchases. And that will then, of course, convince companies that either we want something or we don't. Also, if you're super into the idea of a smart home but don't want to be a casualty of a company's ill-advised decisions about your data, teach yourself to build the thing you want. So, like, learn how to use and program those little Arduino computers that are, you know, at the center of a lot of these smart devices. Take an old smartphone, connect it to Wi-Fi, stick it in your fridge, figure out a way to get that video feed securely so you can check to see whether you've run out of milk. The more we get DIY with technology, the more we learn, and the more we learn as users and consumers, the better we are at having agency and avoiding mistakes and kind of understanding the industry that we're dipping our toes into.
The other way you can check to see if you've run out of milk is just opening the fridge and looking. But, you know, I don't know. I don't work
great
in Silicon Valley.
Great life hack.
Ben Brock Johnson, who covers tech for us at Here and Now and hosts the podcast with Reddit, Endless Thread. Thank you.
Thank you.